Over the weekend, the streets of Hong Kong were packed with protesters.
No evil law!
They're calling for the city's chief executive, Carrie Lam, to step down, chanting no evil law. And they're referring to an extradition bill that would give mainland China jurisdiction over certain crimes committed in Hong Kong. Protesters worry that the bill will strip the semi-autonomous city of some of its freedoms and its citizens of their civil liberties. The outrage has resulted in the largest protests in Hong Kong's recent history. Grace Choi is a journalist for the BBC and lifelong resident of Hong Kong, and she's been covering the protests. Grace, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Grace, tell us what you've seen in these protests.
On Sunday, we saw people were wearing white t-shirts and have their umbrellas. We see people like young and old, students, old people, young families. Some of the families have their prams, young kids. So it's quite diverse.
Is there momentum for the protests moving forward?
It's still developing, but people are now planning a sit-in from tomorrow to next Thursday.
So Hong Kong has had several notable protests in the past, the Umbrella Movement in 2014 and the Sedition Act protests in 2003. Can you tell us about those?
So the Umbrella Movement started in 2014, and it was like protesters occupied the heart of the city for 79 days. They were trying to fight for universal suffrage, free elections locally, but the protesters didn't gain any concessions from the government. So a lot of people thought that it was a failure. 2003 was a different time. So people were trying to oppose the Anti-Sedition Act, and they succeeded. The Anti-Sedition Bill has still not been in effect in Hong Kong till today.
Have the protests that are going on now have been peaceful? What is the overall energy there?
According to organizers, more than 1 million people took it to the street. It started in the afternoon, continued into the night. But towards the end of the protest, things got a little bit violent because some of the protesters, they didn't want to leave. And then there were scuffles between the remaining protesters and police.
Grace, what about the extradition proposal is most concerning to the protesters? What are they worried about will happen?
So a bit of background information. Hong Kong is a former British colony. So before the return to Chinese rule, it was guaranteed that one country, two systems, Hong Kong will enjoy civil liberties that are unavailable to residents of mainland China, and we have like a separate judicial system. But with the extradition law, people are worried that, you know, once the amendments pass, they would face trial or even prison terms in mainland China. A lot of people worry that, you know, if they are like anti-communist party, if they criticize the government, Beijing might make use of the extradition agreements to bring them to trial in China instead. There is this sense of fear.
Grace, what's the case that the government is making in favor of the bill?
So they're arguing that there has been a loophole because this extradition bill started because of a murder case in Taiwan. So a Hong Kong man, 20 years old, he allegedly murdered his girlfriend and he came back to his hometown. And because there are no extradition agreements with Taiwan, so now he could walk free after serving a minor sentence.
Grace, Hong Kong is led by what's known as a chief executive. What can you tell us about Carrie Lam?
So Hong Kong doesn't have free elections, and the chief executive is selected by 1,200 people. They're called members of the election committee. But these people, most of them are kind of handpicked by Beijing. Beijing has a lot of power in the decision of these members. And many of them are business leaders or pro-Beijing politicians. So in a way, Carrie Lam doesn't need to listen to Hong Kong people. She kind of won the election 2 years ago because of the blessings of Beijing. So she has always been considered a very experienced and capable bureaucrat. She has been working for the government, you know, starting from in the British like colonial era until now. So she is very experienced, but a critic says that she doesn't really listen to people, and some people think that she's quite arrogant.
What is this? We know that China is has been making moves to essentially consolidate its power. Where does this extradition bill fit into Beijing's broader strategy here?
It's a good question. I think what they are trying to achieve that, you know, the one country, two system, in theory, it will end in 2047. So Hong Kong is supposed to be fully integrated in mainland China. And with this extradition amendments, it will be one step closer to the integration of the legal system. One might argue that.
With the umbrella protest movements of 2014, not much changed after that. What do protesters, are protesters hopeful that this, that these protests will actually make a difference?
I think there has been a sense of hopelessness after the umbrella movement, because people thought, okay, we have occupied the streets for 79 days and yet we achieved nothing. But with this protest, I think a lot of them might not feel hopeful. They just think this is something that we need to do to defend the city.
And of course, Hong Kong, as we know, is a major business hub. Is there any concern that the political climate right now might drive away business owners or investors?
Yes, because like some powerful business organizations, including the U.S. Chamber of Commerce here in Hong Kong, they have voiced concern over the extradition bill, and people are worried that like foreign businesses might consider moving to other countries in Asia. They can move away their Asia headquarters.
Grace Choi is a journalist for the BBC, and we've been speaking about the protests in Hong Kong. Grace, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.